you so much. Thank you. You can be seated. You can be seated. You can be seated. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. It's a joy to be home. It's good to be back. And no, actually, I was in Division 10. Thank you very much. But I just lost half of you. We haven't even started yet. But what a joy, what an honor, what a thrill, what a delight to be back. As Brother Francis said, I had the privilege to walk these halls. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And in the dormitories and walk the halls here and sit in this chapel for a long time, longer than I thought I would. And but no regrets, and I'm glad I did. Met my wife here. She was on staff at the college. And then, I don't know, some of you, your students wouldn't understand this yet, but I know some of the staff and faculty would understand this, and I say this from my heart. We didn't have any idea, really, where the Lord would lead our sons to go to college. We didn't tell them where to go. We prayed for them, of course, all along the way. And little did we have any idea that all four of them would choose to come to Hiles Anderson College. And our three oldest met their wives here, and now they're serving the Lord in solid, independent, fundamental Baptist churches. And Joel's still here trying to finish his up and get his all taken care of too, amen. But I really try my best not to embarrass people, but it's all good. But but seriously, really, I say to you that it's such a joy. I mean, I can't find the words to tell you how thrilled my wife and I are that all four of our sons had Brother Wilkerson as a pastor. And, you know, we were talking this morning, Brother King and I were talking that, you know, I think if somebody were asking me what are some of the things you learned from Brother Hiles, you know, who was my pastor when I was in college here. And really, one of the first things that comes to my mind is a lot of things Brother Hiles taught me and taught all of us. But one of the things I hope that I got more than any was Brother Hiles taught me how to love people. And of course, we understand the love for people comes from Christ and salvation. We understand that. That's the foundation. But God puts people in our lives, spiritual leaders, to help us on that journey. And Brother Hiles taught us how to love people. And I don't know, we're certain none of us are in the competition game, that's for sure. But I can't help but think, well, Brother Wilkerson, if anybody caught it, and now is the pastor of this church and oversees this great college still to teach you students how to love people. And we were talking about that just a little bit this morning. And you're so blessed. You're so blessed. And again, it is just such a delight, such an honor for us to be here. I can never say thank you enough to Brother Wilkerson, Hiles Anderson College, First Baptist Church, for loving us and believing in us. And so this is a delight. I want you to know that. I'm super honored and thrilled to be here. the group just sang. Where's Joel? Joel, did Laura write that song? I thought my daughter-in-law wrote that song. And that's a great song. How many never heard that song before? How many of you never heard it? How many of you have heard the song before? How many of you don't like raising your hand in public? Yeah, finally, I got you. And the group, though, that's saying, is Leah? Is one of them in the group? Where's she at? There's Leah right there. And I met your dad this week, and I'm looking forward to getting to know him better, faithfully serving in upstate New York. And I grew up in Long Island, New York, and my parents were reached, and my dad and my stepmom, I'll tell a little bit of the story at City Baptist today, but when I was a kid, and then by the time I became a teenager, all my family dropped out of church, and I guess in some ways I'm a bus kid, but we didn't have a church bus, we had a van, and so the church van picked me up every Sunday and Wednesday and brought me soul winning. And then when I was 16 years old, our church started a bus ministry, and I became a bus captain. in our church. And of course, I'm so thankful for that. I have just so many precious memories from that. But so I love New York, and that's what I was thinking about when I thank you for that special. That was a blessing. Take your Bibles, please. 2 Kings chapter 11. 2 Kings chapter 11. I'm going to have you stand in just a moment. Just give you a moment there to turn there. And the meeting this afternoon, any of you that are from New England, not just necessarily from state line, or we've had the privilege to minister to you along the way through the Christian school or whatever, love for you to come just for a few minutes. We're not going to be able to be there very long. We're going to share a little bit of the thoughts on the gospel crusades that we're going to be starting this summer, starting in Providence, Rhode Island. And Lord willing, we're starting annual citywide gospel crusades in each of the major cities in New England each summer. And it's a God thing, and which is a good thing. And a lot of work, a lot of prayer, a lot of labor. It's not, you know, I've had a lot of people, and if you know me, I get excited real quick. I get excited about almost anything. But quite honestly, we're not excited. I've had a lot of come to me and say, "Well, I'm so excited about that." And I'll tell you right now, it's not something I'm excited about yet. It's a burden. It's a heavy burden. And I don't know if that makes sense to you, but that's just kind of where we're at this point. Praying, fasting, begging for God to do something incredible and something that only God can do. And that's what we all want, you know, whether you're here or we're there. We just want to see what God can do. May it be so great, everybody know God did it. That's a good statement I'm sure you've heard in your young life as well. May it be so great, everybody will know God did it. And please, if you would pray for us, you remember to. And again, I'm super, super delighted to be here. Stay with me, please, if you would. 2 Kings chapter 11. And forgive me, I'll just say it real quick. I ordinarily have a very deep, gravelly voice, but I am fighting a head cold, so stay away. It's probably the bubonic plague. But so I do apologize. It's a lot worse. You know, I got here and... I said, Miss Lori said, "How are you?" I was going to say Miss Lori Weir, like you did with my wife, Miss Mulholland. She said, "How are you doing?" I said, "Well, my wife's put about 10,000 whatevers of milligrams of something of vitamin C in me or something like that." But she said, "Oh, I know. I heard you on the radio." She really wanted to say you sounded awful, but the words didn't come out of her mouth, but I read her mind, the naughtiness of her heart. Anyway, so forgive me, please, if you would, but we have, quite honestly, we've considered canceling over the last 24 to 48 hours, but God's let us be here. So, and again, let's get that behind us. If you can put up with it, as long as we got strength of voice and hopefully the power and filling of the Holy Spirit, God can meet with us. I sat where you sit, and I can look back to many times I made major, wonderful decisions in my life in this chapel right here. And I'm for you. You've got so much potential for Christ. It's beyond scary. It's incredible. And young people, keep your hand to the plow. And it's no more time to play. It's time to pray. No more time for us to play games. It's time for us to man up. And we'll talk about that in the message a little bit here for the men. Amen. So ladies, you pray for the fellas, right? We're going to help them out. And... The life verse that we teach the young people at New England Baptist Teen Camp is this verse. You'll never forget it the rest of your life. Suck it up, buttercup. And that's the life verse. I don't know if I can say that on live stream. You know, it's amazing. If I just would have said Jesus loves me, I'll be like, yeah. But y'all are a mess. Y'all are a mess. 2 Kings chapter 11, and we're going to read a few verses here, and then we're going to pray. I'm sure most all of you are familiar with the story. I'd like to read a little bit of the story, tell you the story, and I want you and I to find out where I believe God has us in this story, where God has you in this story. And I hope and pray that it'll be a blessing and a help to you, considering New Testament application as a New Testament believer in the New Testament church, of how we can make application of this most amazing story in the Bible. I'd like to read a lot of it, but I think it'd help my voice if we didn't. So I'll read a few verses in the beginning, and then we'll jump to a few verses 9, 10, and 11, and 12. So stay with me if you would. Verse 1, 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, "And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. And the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captain and the guard, and brought them to him into the house of the Lord, and made a covenant with him, and took an oath of him, them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's sons. I'll tell more of the story, but jump down, please, with you, if you would, please, with me to, let's pick it up in verse 10. And the captains over hundreds did the priest give King David's spears and shields that were in the temple of the Lord. And the guard stood, every man with his weapons in his hand, round about the king, from the right corner of the temple to the left corner of the temple, along by the altar and the temple. And he brought forth the king's son, and put the crown upon him, and gave him the testimony. And they made him king, and anointed him, and they clapped their hands, and said, God save the king. And it's a simple message this morning, during your midterms here. It's a simple message on the importance of the battle, or really, get in the battle. Get in the battle. And let's pray together, please. Father, we do thank you so much. I'm so thankful, Lord, to be here, to serve these students this hour is very humbling. Lord, I'm very stirred, you know, in my heart, Lord. I've prayed, and this is the truth that you've put on my heart for the hour. But really what matters is that thy spirit would speak to each of us. So we yield ourselves, I do, and I believe we will collectively, our hearts and our minds. Lord, may we not be distracted. May we not be sidetracked on our phones or other things that we would think about, but really focus for these few moments on this amazing story in the Bible. And then, Lord, just take the truth and make application as you would desire. I thank you so much, Lord, for this great place. I'm still in awe. I haven't gotten over it. And so, Lord, would you just meet with us in a most wonderful way? We'll be careful to give you all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' sweet name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Probably most of you are very familiar with the story. Ahaziah dies, and Athaliah takes it upon herself to take the throne. Little did she know that Jehoiada, and as the Bible tells us there, you can see, but Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, they take it upon themselves to put Joash into safety. And in a little bit here, at 7 years old, he becomes a king. There's a lot in this story. There's just a lot going on. I would say to you, first of all, and just to think about some of the characters involved in the story here, certainly none of us would want to be an Athaliah, amen? Boy, what a mess. And it does remind us, as you and I are students of the Bible, that it's not going to happen just here in America, but any nation goes through times where there's good kings and there's bad kings. And the reality is, more often than not, there's bad kings and not good kings. So certainly these are things that we want to pray about, but we don't want to get all focused on just who's in the White House. I no doubt about it, we should pray every day, whether it's a president you like or it's a president you don't like. And whoever the leader might be, certainly we should always be committed to prayer. But the reality is God's not looking for the spiritual temperature of the White House. He's looking for the spiritual temperature of the church house, right? And you understand that. And so this is a situation where a king dies and the king's mom says, I'm just going to take care of this myself. And little does she have any idea that Jehoiada, who was a priest, who was a good man, he was a godly man. And I think about Athaliah, and I think certainly, boy, we don't want to be somebody that fits the bill like her. But there's people like Jehoiada. You know, Jehoiada is a great example. I really do. I thought about this, and I'm just trying to get to the message here. But I think about the faculty and staff of Hiles Anderson College. You know, they're people that are trying to prepare God's future servants for the cause of Christ. Now, unfortunately, if you know the story of Joash only did right as long as Jehoiada was alive. Look up here. That's a bad testimony. It's not enough for you to do right just because mom and dad are watching or the college is watching. But that's exactly what happened with Joash. And this is not the message, but I can change it real quick if I have to. Amen? No, I'm not going to change the message. But you understand, that's bad news. It's unfortunate. Joash only did that which was right as long as Jehoiada was alive. Hey, here's an interesting thought. Jehoiada got buried with the kings the king himself didn't even get buried with the kings. Isn't that interesting? And Joash couldn't take the heat. He couldn't take the pressure. And when the pressure cooker came, Joash bent and caved to the worshiping to Baal. And, who was it? It was his son. Was it Zechariah? No, not Zechariah. Who knows the story? Help me now. His son was a prophet. And his son, Jehoiada's son, came to him and said, we ought not be doing this. And the king killed Jehoiada's son. After Jehoiada was already gone, the prophet comes along the way and tells people what they need to hear from God's word, and people don't like it sometimes, right? And so, but in the story here, but Jehoiada, what a great example. Faculty and staff, thank you for keeping your hand to the plow. College student, you ought to thank God for every one of the team that is assembled here and the leadership of this great college. Look at me now. I'm talking to you now. You ought to thank God for every single one of them. They are, many of them, I say this respectfully, they are grizzled veterans. Listen, there's a lot of bright lights. I can't see you. You looking at me? Are you listening to me this morning? Some of you got your head out of the sand. You ought to thank God for the grizzled veterans that serve at this great college. They're Jehoiadas. They're people that believe that God has great plans and purposes for your life. And they didn't do it. Like my wife said on the radio program, she was preaching to Brother Wilkerson. I mean, with Brother Wilkerson this morning. And she talked about, hey, boy, you know, thank God. Thank God for those that serve and serve faithfully. And thank God for you folks, you Jehoiadas, that are in the trenches and serving. And so there's some very interesting characters here. And then, of course, you have King Joash. And, you know, unfortunately, there are some people in the cause of Christ that think they're their next king. And that's not the message this morning either. But there's some people that think that. You know, God, one of the great reasons, one of the great things you must learn while you're in college, and God has to do this. A chapel preacher can't do it. A college teacher can't do it. Your parents can't do it. But quite honestly, God has to break us of who we are. God has to make us a nobody before God can use us. Say, Brother Barnes, well, I think God did that when I was six. Well, let me just suggest to you, he probably didn't, okay? But maybe he did. But the reality is that God's in a process of preparing you, as you know, for great things he has in store for your life. How many understand that? Raise your hand. Just want to make sure you're still awake, all right? By the way, how many of y'all excited about the weekend? How many excited about going soul winning on your bus ride? All right, good. So make sure you're still awake. But let's get to where you are in the story here. I want you to notice again in verse 10. And so Jehoiada, before I read it, Jehoiada sets up teams to be ready, because when they announce the 7-year-old is alive and he's the king, Athaliah is going to throw a hissy fit. She's just going to get all tore out of the frame. By the way, don't be afraid of the Jezebels out there. Don't be afraid of the Athaliahs. Okay, don't you be one, and don't you be afraid of those. But Jehoiada was getting them ready, because they were going to put this 7-year-old on the throne, put the crown on his head, put him on the throne, and he was getting ready for the battle. I want you to notice verse 10. The Bible says, and to the captains over hundreds did the priest give what? King David's spears and shields that were in the temple of the Lord. And I think about this great college, Hiles Anderson College. Boy, don't ever get over just even saying that, Hiles Anderson College. I trust you stay awed that you're a student in this great college. You better wake up, because we're going to be here a while this morning. I hope you stay awed when you walk down the hallways of Hiles Anderson College. Say, what in the world do you mean, stay awed? You ought to just ask somebody to pinch you, not somebody of the opposite gender, amen? But you ought to ask somebody to pinch you sometimes and say, hey, look up here. Hey, am I really here? Am I really a student in this college? It is a privilege. It is an honor for you to be a student in this college. And my friend, when you walk down the hallways of this college, you don't see spears and shields and bucklers as 2 Chronicles account gives us. These were the things that came back after King David's battles. These were the victories that God gave to King David. Stay with me now. And they were brought back, and they brought into the temple. And there's no doubt about it. The people would walk by and they'd say, wow, look at that shield right there. Some of you wouldn't, because you're more impressed with a video game than you are what God has done in this place. Listen to me now. Listen to me now. We're not playing games here. We're in chapel. And listen, it's time to grow up, fellas. It's time to man up. It's time to get in the battle. He said, I don't really care to do that. They're not. Listen, we can pray for you, and I hope and pray that God gets a hold of your heart. I mean in a good way. I don't mean in a sarcastic way. I mean in a good way. Long these honored halls of learning. And you walk down these halls, and you ought to see the spiritual swords and the spears and the shields and the bucklers of what God has done in this great college over the years. You ought to see it for what it is. It's there. It's really there. You don't have to make something up. Get rid of your comic book and your cartoon mentality. You ought to walk down these hallways as a man, as an adult, as a young man in Christ. And you ought to walk through these hallways and say, this is the blessings of God have been on this place. And the swords and the spears and the shields and the bucklers are all around us. Hey, do you see them? Do you see them? Do you recognize them from what they are? This is such an amazing, God used Howells Anderson College. I can't even speak. I'm not the authority to speak on that. But to know, I have friends all over the country, around the world, that sat in these seats like you did, like you do right now. And they had bad days too, and they had tough times also. But it's time for us to man up. It's time to get in the battle. And I want you to notice in verse 10, the Bible says, and to the captains over hundreds did the priests give King David's spears and shields that were in the temple of the Lord. You see, it's not enough for you to recognize them for what they are and that they're there. It's time for you to pick them up and use them yourself. Now, in reality, as a child of God, we all know that our great commander is the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? That's our great commander. We're not here to impress each other. We're not here to impress anybody else. We're here to please the Lord Jesus Christ that saved our stinking soul. You understand that? So let's understand something, that our king is King Jesus. He wasn't seven. He's king. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And one of these days he's going to come back and he's going to say, what did you do while you sat in these seats and while you walked down these hallways and while you worked on that bus route and when you went soul winning in Chicago? What did you do? What did you do with David's spears and shields and swords and bucklers? What did you do with it? Some of your daddy sat in these pews. Look at me now. I'm talking to you. It's not prayer time. Your mama sat in these pews. Some people are praying for you. And it is high time for some of you to pick up a shield, to pick up a sword, to pick up a buckler, to say, I'm in it to win it. I'm going to get serious about doing the will of God while I'm here. Why don't you forget about, I got a mic here. Listen, why don't you forget about, well, I'm only going to be here for you. I'm not here very long. Now, in the first place, you don't know what God might do. But it may be that's true. But what I would do is, if I'm here just for a year, and I'm a senior this year, I'd give it everything I've got. It's not time for you to go into coast mode. Who do you think you are? The cause of Christ is too important. Do you understand that? It's too important. Jesus may come back before your year is done, cutie pie. Sister whoever, amen, or big britches boy, whoever you are. I might cuss in Spanish in a minute. Y'all pray for me, amen. I couldn't. There's too many to know what I'm saying, amen. Oh, listen, isn't it time? It's time for you and I. It's time for you. I walked these halls. I was here. And listen, I did not arrive. I had so much to learn. I still got so much to learn. I'm still a student of the Bible. I'm still a student of being a soldier for Christ. But you can't help but think about Paul challenging young Timothy, and he wasn't nothing sissy about it. He said, Timothy, you need to be a soldier. You need to be a soldier. Yeah, I don't like battle. Well, you need to get in the battle anyways. Listen, Jesus said, take up your cross, right? But Brother Howells used to say it. These are not our crown-wearing days. These are our cross-bearing days. That time, we're not walking around here trying to impress each other with who we are, but you ought to say, man, you walk down these hallways and say, boy, there was a time when God did great things, and we're gonna see. Hey, listen, it's your time, young people. It's your time. It's your time to keep that spiritual attitude and atmosphere and that passion for soul winning and building the bus routes and doing the work of God. Don't let it be a game to you. It's too important. Not just because you're going to get in trouble and somebody's going to get mad at you. Hey, grow up. Look up here. Grow up. Your great commander, Jesus, has called you to arms, and all you get to do is say, yes, sir. I'm all in, sir. I don't care what my roommates do. I don't care what my friends do. I don't care what other people in other colleges or other places do. I am in it to win it. What's that life verse of Teen Camp? Say it, please. Come on now. Help me now. Say it again. You don't even pay attention. But I still love you. Hey, it's time to get in the battle. Get in the battle. It's not enough that some people don't see the spears and the shields and the swords and the bucklers. I don't know what I can do for you. I still walk these hallways, and I walk in awe. I do. I understand we're not all the same, and we're all thankful for that, amen? Say, if I had your voice, man, I'd be praying for a miracle, amen? And I'm with you. I'm praying for a miracle, amen? I still walk these halls, and I feel, Brother Mitchell, I feel the same way about it. I still feel the same way. Brother Stubblefield, is that you back there? I don't got my bifocals on, amen? Brother Goodall, good to see you there. Others, I don't want to, listen. But listen, I still feel that way when I walk on this campus. And it's not enough for us to see, well, you're there. Boy, appreciate that. Thank you. It's a pretty good place. Not a pretty good place. God's hand has been on this ministry. It's not enough for you to pick up that shield and shine it and see how impressive that is. We had a spring program. Brother Ray had a spring program one time, and Brother Hiles was going to throw all this stuff away that he didn't think were, you know, just things that, you know, awards and different things he got. And Brother Ray gave him away in a program to the ones that brought the most visitors and captains with bus routes and such. And and I don't, there was a lot of different things. Brother Hiles' old cowboy boots, just a whole bunch of things. And this one, So I got the plaque when Elmer Towns gave it to Brother Hiles as the largest Sunday school in the world. And I thought, wow, man, this is amazing, you know. Well, now what am I going to do with it, you know? Where am I going to hang it at, you know? Oh, that was you? No. And I ended up trading it with when Brother Chris Stansel used to run the place down here, you know, and for like three of Brother Hiles' sermons and one John R. Rice sermon. I mean, that's a little draft pick there, a good little trade, you know. I think of so many memories. Young people, it's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough for you to just be enamored and to see what God has done. It's your turn to pick those up and go to battle. And go to battle. Get in the battle. Choose your battles wisely. I know my time is running out. Choose your battles wisely. If you don't get anything else, you don't ever forget what I'm going to tell you right now. You remind yourself that your only enemy is old, stinking, smutty face. You remind yourself of that. Some of you, the devil's tripping you up. You it seems like you can't get along with anybody around here. Seems like, I don't know who you are. Seems like, boy, you know, just nobody really understands. And I don't get along with anybody at work. And I don't get along with anybody here. And it's interesting. Maybe some don't really get along with anybody. Well, you know, we're always fighting. No, listen, look up here. That's not your battle. Some of you need to take that energy and go fight old Snake and Smutty Face on your bus route tomorrow. You'll spend more time complaining and whining and dining and texting and calling somebody else because you're a drama queen or you're a drama king and you got somebody you're not getting along with. I'm not picking at you this morning. I'm trying to get you to understand something. The battle for the cause of Christ is too important. It's way too important. It's hard. We don't get along. That's part of growing up. We're all working through things. Not everybody's going to be best friends with everybody. You walk down the other hallway, that's a smart thing to do, amen? Not everybody's going to agree with everybody on everything. But listen, your enemy is the devil. Your enemy is the devil. It's not your parents. It's not your roommates. It's not your coworkers. Your animal enemy is old stinking smutty face. And you better remind yourself of that. Choose your battles wisely. I remember as a young pastor... Sorry, what time again? 50 or 55? 55. I was a young pastor. And I had a situation. I don't want to, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on this story. I was pastoring in North Carolina. And I brought our church folks to a meeting. And we brought about 20 or 30 of our folks to a meeting to hear Bob Gray and Daryl Cox years ago. It's back in the 19, none of your business. Yeah, World War II. But thank you for laughing there. It's not that bad. And there was a family that came to our church about 6 months previous to this, and or maybe 3 months, about 3 months previous to this. And I encouraged them to, this family that came to our church was the son of a pastor in North Carolina. And I said, boy, when you leave, you do everything to make sure you honor your dad and leave right. It was a real dicey situation. I was a young pastor, 29 years old. Didn't know a whole lot. Still don't know. I know the one that knows a whole lot, amen. But and we went to the auditorium and sat there. And the pastor of that church came up to me. And service about to start, and he said, you need to take yourself and your people, and you need to pack your stuff up and get out of here. I said, okay. I didn't see any of that coming. He said, my pastor friend, he's one of my best friends, and whatever it was. And you know how embarrassing that is to pick your people up and leave a church service when they drove some of them over an hour to come to a church service to hear some preaching? You know how humiliating that is? But you know, God helped me. I got up behind the pulpit the next Sunday and I never said boo about it. Y'all pray for us. Something really bad happened. Never said boo about it. I sat down the next week and I wrote a letter to that pastor and I apologized if I would do anything to hurt his meeting. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. Every bit of my flesh wanted to, and you get the rest of it. Fill in the blank. With nice words in Spanish. I was tore out of the frame. I was hurt. I felt bad. But God helped us. Because God helped us to remember that I'm not going to choose for anybody else to be my enemy. People may not like me. And I know that's hard for you to believe, but there's some people out there, some of you college students, you know, and I remember you. But I never got behind our pulpit, never said anything publicly about it one time. You know what God gave me an opportunity to do? God gave me an opportunity to show our church folks that we're not going to get sidetracked. I wanted to say a lot about it. I didn't even, you know, I've told this story maybe three times in the last 30 years. Doesn't matter who it was, doesn't matter. What matters is you got to remind yourself of something. You are in spiritual warfare for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look up here. More importantly, look up here. Not it's my bus route. It's not your bus route. It's God's bus route. God's letting you serve there. Don't take ownership. Take full surrender servanthood. I got to protect my... Relax, homeboy. You'll be all right, okay? I know you look in the mirror, and he's real tough looking. But listen, look up here. Stop the nonsense. The devil's going to sidetrack some of you. Choose your battles wisely. Oh, I'd encourage you to stay in the battle. Stay in the battle. It's a lifelong commitment. The Christian race is a lifelong marathon. It's not a 50-yard dash, 100-yard dash. Pastor Allen, you know that's true, sir. It's a lifelong marathon. It's a journey. A lot of bumps and bruises, a lot of hurts, some successes, but a lot of failures. But it starts right here, right now with you while you're in this great college, Hiles Anderson College. To walk down these hallways and sit in this chapel and sit in your classes and sit on that bus and say, I can't believe God's letting me serve here. Is it really happening? See, Brother Barnes, I don't really understand that. I don't know what to tell you. I don't have a sermon for that one there. I think it's got to come back to the joy and the honor and the appreciation of your salvation. I think it's got to come back to that. Because that really is what it's all about. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's high time. It's high time. And by the way, you young people that have been in our ministries or been around us or whatever, you heard me say it. If you and I will pour ourselves into the cause of Christ, when the fun times come, you enjoy those so much more. So you just all you want to do is always have fun, 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 fun. I try to enjoy everything I do. If you know me, if any of you that know me, you know that's true. I'm living life and I'm living large, amen. And I love it. It's a wonderful thing to be a child of the King. I love serving the Lord. But it's not always games. It's time to pick up a shield. It's time to pick up a spear. It's time to pick up a buckler. It's time to pick up a sword. And not just be enamored by it. Say, this is my time. Because if Jesus tarries his coming, in 10 or 15 years, somebody, maybe 20 years, one of your children or somebody from your church is going to sit in these seats. Hiles Anderson College of 2022, keep it spiritual, keep it hot for Christ. Keep it passionate for God. Ask God to carry you far above the frivolity of just even statements like that. People are so worldly minded, they would grow up, be spiritually minded. May there be a spiritual passion for Christ and continue to be in this great place. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to love and serve these students this morning. Thank you, Lord, that I could be here. And Lord, I know they're working hard. Lord, we're not here to beat anybody up. These are good kids. They love you, Lord. But we're also mature enough to know, Lord, it's easy for us to slip and slide a little bit and get a little callous and a little casual. Lord, may there be a renewed commitment to spiritual discipline, Lord. And those that walk these hallways now, spiritual swords and spears and bucklers, and they're all over the place. May they see them and may they grab theirs with great passion for Christ, please. In Jesus' name, Brother Francis.